Hi, I'm Angela.
And I'm Michaela. And this is season 4 of Girl Truth, where we give you the inside scoop on the teenage black girl experience. Today, we are joined by a special guest host, Marmia, an Evelyn's House alum, mental health advocate, and college student.
Welcome, Marmia.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Nice to have you here today. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so today I'll just be starting off with asking everyone, what is your definition of mental health? And I think we'll just start with our guest host, Marmia.
Well, for me, mental health, it's about all of the things related to our health that are like mentally based. So whether or not they have a physiological cause or a societal cause or a mental cause, these are things that affect how we function day to day. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with physical health, you have like broken legs, you have the flu, you have cancer, you have all these things. With mental health, you have depression, you have anxiety, you have ADHD, you have all those things. And just like somebody can be born with cancer or Down syndrome or whatnot, somebody can be born with ADHD or with autism. They're just as valid of disorders as our what we consider physical disorders. Mm-hmm. And they have just as much of an impact on our ability to function.
I could definitely like add on to that because I feel like even the comparisons that you did, all those things are not things that we ask for. I feel like mental health is not nothing we ask to come among us, but we do have to find ways to treat it.
It's about like when things go wrong or when it's a disorder. Just like, heck, you could have a paper cut. Mm-hmm. That's still a part of your physical health.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, when you have, like, a bad day, that's you having a bad mental health day.
Yeah.
Literally. It's like if you got the flu, yeah, it's going to be gone in 3 days, but that's still your physical health.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't move. You can't eat, drink, taste. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, Michaela is going to bring us in of our topic one.
So, historically and today, Black girls and women experience higher rates of abuse and trauma, which in turn impacts mental health. How do y'all feel about that statement?
Well, for me, it rings true. Like, it matches with what I've experienced, what the people around me have experienced. And it makes me, honestly, it makes me a bit angry and it makes me really, really sad.
Yeah.
Because it becomes this whole self-perpetuating cycle. Like they say, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And you've got a whole bunch of people walking around with trauma wounds, trying to go about their day-to-day that have things where they can't take a break.
Right.
They can't stop. And it becomes this whole issue. And then they pass that on to their kids.
Right.
And then their kids wind up having trauma directly from them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they go on and they have kids and it self-perpetuates. And it's so insidious. Mm-hmm. Like I know like somebody very close to me, she grew up in like an abusive household and then she went and she got into an abusive relationship. Mm. And it's like people like to talk about the fairy tale ending of, oh, I left XYZ situation, but they don't talk about the lingering effects. They don't talk about what happens when you don't know what actual good love looks like.
Or how should I feel after that? Like,
How should I feel about somebody who says they love me? Should I be scared?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Should I be walking on eggshells? Because like if you're raised to walk on eggshells,
you'll walk on them.
You're going to walk on them and you're not going to see it as, oh, I need to get out of the situation because it feels like home.
That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely speak a little bit on that, too. I will say, from my opinion, it is very heartbreaking to know that so many bad things can happen to Black women in society now. But I will say to handle the situations is more so me just praying on my knees to say, like, not like, well, begging to God, like, is there any other way I can handle this or how should I go out of this? And why was I treated like this because I was abused or whatever the case may be. But for me, I was just say God will guide you along and he will get you out of any troubles that you were in. I would say for me, just going, like coming out of situations like that, I never been abused or anything, but just having like simple problems as a teenage girl, I would say me going to God has helped me through my conflict. I'm not sure how any other woman may go through it, But that's what has helped me. I know that other girls that has the experience of being abused or going through trauma or anything might have a therapist or, you know, have other things that they do in life. But I just wanted to say that it is very effective to Black women to know that we may go through trauma and abuse stuff.
Yeah, it kind of makes me upset because we are the higher rates of trauma and abuse. And it just makes me sad because more Black women needs help and we need to be seen and heard. But that's not really, you know, a lot of us not seen and heard. That's why our rates are so high. You know, other people get more help than us. So it's just kind of sad to see.
Yeah, and it's exhausting. Like,
yes, very. Right.
I know for me as a Black woman, like, I don't feel like I can stop.
Exactly.
I don't feel like I'm allowed to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I'll have like friends of other races and there's sometimes where I have to realize I'm the toxic one. Mm. Because they'll be like, oh yeah, I decided that I couldn't do that because I needed to respect my mental health. And my initial thought is, okay, but you don't want to suck it up?
Right.
Oh, so you're just okay.
That's just how we built.
Right.
Yeah, it's not everybody.
Because especially as a Black woman, you get this message over and over and over again, no matter what trauma you go through, no matter how bad things get, no matter how yes. much it hurts,
mm-hmm.
you get it done. And
yeah, that's what we was raised
not
on.
Sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not. And that shouldn't be taught. Like, it should be put your mental health first.
Exactly.
I know that's what I would be telling anybody under me. I'm sorry. Because you can't do nothing if you're not you.
Mm-hmm.
So going into topic two, Angela is going to open that up for us.
So topic two goes into me just asking like about the stigma against reaching out for help and how our parents and guardians perpetuate that stigma. So I just wanted to know your opinions on it first, just before I, you know, break down minds.
Well, for me, I know like I've had experiences with like, for example, my mom once asked me, why do you talk so much about having ADHD? Like, that's mm-hmm. something that you should keep to yourself. And, like, my mom's one of the most, like, open-minded people I know.
Mm-hmm.
But even she still couldn't get around that, why are you so open about it? And for me, I'm open about it because somebody was open about it, and that helped me.
Right, so right. You could be somebody else's help.
Exactly. And I think it's so important to speak up and speak out because if you're struggling and a person next to you is struggling, and neither one of y'all knows.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think going into that, not even to like cut you off or anything, but I think more so like older people, like us just going to our grandmoms or parents or whatever the case may be, I think that they always don't really know what to say because they never really had to speak on it. They was always more so closed off in their generation to just keep that in their household and not tell anybody about your business because we don't want to reflect off an image of the Black girl that nobody wants us to be, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be more so, oh, like, don't let nobody in your business type of thing. So the moms that we have now, when we try to go to them about it, they might not always know what to say. Like, this is their first time living just like us. So for our generation to talk about it a lot more, it's just kind of new to our parents.
Yeah, so like,
that's one thing I will say, yeah.
Yeah, like,
I'm sorry, you can go.
I know, like, I had it where my father, we were going back and forth because I'm like, look, I'm autistic. This is how it affects me and blah, blah, right. blah. And his thing was, well, I didn't hear that much about this autism thing when I was growing up. Where was it back then? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, a lot of it was undiagnosed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you still had people who were autistic. You just might not have known mm-hmm. that that's what was going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, well, if everybody survived back, well, if that's true, then they were totally fine without getting a diagnosis and stuff like that. Like, where are all them? Where are they at? And I was like, well, if they were wealthy, they might have gotten help or they might have gotten support.
And then,
or they died.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. top of that, you might not know like how they dealt with it. Because if they didn't deal with it, they really didn't. It's like they just had to shut up about it because that wasn't accepted back then. It mm-hmm. was like, all right, if I would have told my friend that I was, you know, I felt like I feel different than others and I don't move the same way that y'all do, it's like, oh, I'm the weird kid or whatever the case may be. So you can't really like, you know, blame them for who they yeah. are now.
But nobody they also should
knew
be
how to
like
handle it. Yeah.
Mindful of how they, well, they can't be mindful because that's their norm of how they raise their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it should be. And now that we're on that conversation is a part in our, you know, our thing where it says most Black grandparents never thought to take into full consideration in their past years, but our generation is really different and the things that go on in our lives nowadays make us want to take our mental health a lot more seriously. So parents are very understanding and can agree that it's very important to know if you're actually okay. Like, our parents didn't grow up with this help. Exactly. Everything different. We have technology. They didn't have that.
Right.
So really, a lot of people are questioning their mental health because stuff they see on social media, like, now they thinking, well, oh, do I have ADHD? Because they'll see symptoms or something. Now they thinking, oh, I feel like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like it's so more aware now.
Yeah, it's our parents' time.
Yeah.
It's a double-sided sword.
Exactly.
Because on one hand, you've got a whole bunch of people that are just like, oh, I must have ADHD because it's the new trendy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
But then you also have a whole bunch of people that are just like, because a lot of women are undiagnosed with ADHD and with autism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I know, like, for me, like, when me sharing my story or, like, with other creators on social media and stuff sharing their stories, suddenly it becomes, oh, my God, there's a word for what I've been feeling.
Right.
So exactly. It's something you have to take with a grain of salt because it is so great that we have so much more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But it also comes with where you got people that
Are not aware. Yeah, and judge you and feel like we're making it bigger than what it is. When it should just be big. Mental health should just be big.
Yeah, it should just be treated the same way we treat, like, going to the doctor.
Everything else, exactly.
Yeah, like, you get a checkup maybe twice a year. And if you have a chronic disorder, you might go more often.
Right.
And it should be respected like that. Like, a really bad mental health day should be treated like the flu.
I agree.
I definitely agree with both of y'all said, and I feel as though that it was so important that y'all said that mental health is really important, that everybody should really take it seriously. So I'm glad we were able to, like, hear from, like, kind of, like, both point of views of how we felt and what, you know, our parents and grandparents might think about the mental health thing. But going into that, I just want to know about Marmia's personal, like, journey and everything, because we all know it's very important. But I just want to know how you basically prioritized it in your life and just made it be more of a statement of taking it seriously. Like, how did you carry that along with you to, you know, get through college and just your daily life?
Well, as for my personal journey, I was lucky in that when I was a kid, my untreated autism showed symptoms of basically looking like a boy's ADHD version. So, like, I wouldn't sit still. I would constantly get into conflicts and stuff. And they were just like, oh, wow, she definitely has ADHD.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And then later on, as an adult, I wound up getting my autism diagnosis because I was actually talking with somebody who had children who were autistic. And I'm just having a regular schmegler conversation, you know, not trying to get my world rocked at all whatsoever. And this woman she comes to me and she's just like, I don't want you to feel offended. And my brain immediately goes, oh my gosh, she's about to say something so offensive. And she's like, look, I have two kids. They're autistic. And from what you've been telling me about your childhood and stuff like that, you might want to get checked out for it. And at first I'm just like, oh my God, how dare you? Mm-hmm. But then I had to check that really quick because, like, my personal beliefs is not that being autistic is something bad. So I had to be like, well, would you be treating somebody else this way? Like, would you be offended if somebody said your sister was autistic? Like,
exactly.
And so I wound up eventually getting my diagnosis with that. And it became a matter of where I started really taking my mental health seriously. Like, like, when I got to college and everything fell apart, because the ADHD, I was able to mask it a lot in high school. But when you get to college, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
And I fell apart. Assignments didn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
Classes got failed. And I was just like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I had to admit, because, like, for years I knew I had an ADHD diagnosis, but I had been in denial about it. Like, oh, it's not that bad.
Right.
Oh, I'm smart. How could I have ADHD? They must have misdiagnosed me. I don't have ADHD. I was, there's denial, a river in Egypt, and then there is the state that I was in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I will say one thing I'm glad that you were able to fall into that altercation with the woman telling, like, it's asking you, the conversation is just asking you that simple question, because it really changed your whole life around. And it was like, even though I might know that I am diagnosed with ADHD, I still don't know how to really handle it. But now that you see, like, moving forward, yes, you were kind of able to, like, work around it in high school. But when you're actually, like, by yourself, what am I going to do? Like, I don't really have nobody to go to or wherever the case may be. So it really just, like, changes your whole life around.
Yeah, like, when I finally admitted that, like, yes, I do have ADHD. Yes, I am probably autistic. Mm-hmm. I was able to make changes to support that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I used to have this thing where I will always knock cups over.
Right.
All the time. Liquid, I would just get something and it would wind up on the floor. And I used to beat myself up about it so much. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. Why do I just keep wasting all these liquids? What's wrong with me? I just don't care. And then when I realized, like, no, this is, your proprioception is off.
Yeah.
You've got an issue. Then I just went out and I brought a whole bunch of water bottles that had automatically closing lids.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from spilling something maybe twice a week
mm-hmm.
to one or two times a year.
Exactly. And that's exactly where I was trying to get at. It's just like some of that stuff you might just have to work around. Like, yes, this is something that's in my life now, but there's ways to treat it. Like how we were talking about earlier with just cancer and stuff like that. No, I didn't ask for me to have ADHD or to have cancer, but I can find ways to treat it.
Yeah.
So you speaking about that just really, like, highlights that it's important to know what's wrong. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay to get help, and it's really important to get help, because just like you said, you were dropping liquids and you felt like, oh, I didn't care, I'm dumb. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you really had something going on. And once you realized it, you got help, which was the automatic closed bottle caps.
Yeah.
And you stopped spilling stuff. Like, you just need to be aware and find out what's wrong. Like,
yeah, I like to say it's like getting a diagnosis isn't like a magical cure-all, but it's like somebody gives you a map.
Right.
Like, it's exactly. a very badly drawn map by a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But suddenly you know, like, kind of what to expect.
Exactly.
You know, kind of what to, like, you know what's worked for other people like you. Because, like, a lot of the advice that they'll give to college students that are neurotypical will not work on me with ADHD.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I have so many planners. They have like one page filled out. I cannot do planners.
Yeah.
But the first thing they'll say, if you're like, oh, I'm disorganized and having trouble keeping up with my assignments, is,
mm-hmm.
have you thought about a planner?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. ma'am, but I have more than Barnes & Noble does.
Yeah. It's like, they'll always try to give you what everybody else wants or what everybody else can take or whatever helps them.
Nobody want to help. Yeah,
nobody
want to
help who's different or who doesn't, like, who. That stuff doesn't help me. So it's like, what is that doing for me, basically?
Yeah, and that's why getting a diagnosis is so important,
mm-hmm.
because it's not just a matter of you just wanting a shiny new label.
Right.
Like, just like I thought I was stupid, I was lazy, I was dumb for having ADHD, like, there are other mental disorders like depression. Depression affects, like, your hygiene.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the way we talk about people who don't have good hygiene, it's not nice.
Yeah, it's right. not.
Oh, you're dirty, you're lazy, you just, you're icky, you're this, you're that, or whatever.
Yeah, that's why
you didn't brush your teeth today, or you didn't take a shower today. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But that is something that somebody with depression could be going through.
Right.
And it's not necessarily something that is their fault. And if they don't know that they're depressed, if they don't know that there's a reason why they can't do these things, then what else? What other choice do they have but then to think, oh, well, I'm not showering, and people who don't shower are dirty and lazy, so I must be dirty and lazy.
Right.
Right. That's why I try to say, you know, you never know what people are going through. It's really deeper than,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and I
what
like,
we know.
I feel like with our society knowing about people having, like, people being able to have stuff like ADHD and their mental health could get really bad, I feel like we just don't always take into consideration, and we be so fast to say crazy things. But, you know, we can't blame our grandparents and our parents for not knowing what to say all the time if we do it ourselves.
Yeah.
But closing out into that, Marmia, do you have any final words?
And I'd like everyone to remember, we are here to normalize taking care of our mental health. When we're able to keep our minds healthy, we're able to accomplish so much more. And I'd like everybody to go and follow the Evelor House at the Evelor House on Instagram and go to our website, evelorhouse.org, to check us out and donate to our cause of helping underserved teen girls of color.
Thanks for listening.
And stay tuned for our next episode.
Angela out.
Kay out.
And I've been Marmia, and I am out.